Welcome to season two of the Cultural Cultivators podcast by Belai Creative and Cultivate Labs, where we delve into various aspects of film culture and speak with entrepreneurs, leaders, artists, and creators who are shaping and pushing the boundaries of their respective fields. Join us as we cultivate a greater appreciation for the beauty and complexity of the film experience. Follow us on all social media platforms at Belai Creative or on Instagram at cultural.cultivators. Cultivators is spelled with a K.
As soon as I seen you, it played like a scene on the big screen. Moving slow motion like Pimp C. Came out the blue like Nipsey. Rest in peace. We locked eyes and we did away with the shift key. No matter the case, I'm in deep. No matter the place, I'm involved. If I gotta chase, I'm 6 feet. Curry a chase, I'll sink 3. You was a snack and I'll sink teeth. If I get a chance, let's dance and go eat dessert in the big suite. But you don't ever need me to floss. Funny how that got me smiling the big cheese. 4 to 5, then it said you was a menace. I guess that you been sweet. 4 to 5 women and most men is not aware of what they need. But that don't apply to you indeed. No, that don't apply to you indeed. Fingertips touched and I felt a rush. It felt like the Chapel of Sistine. But you couldn't paint it as pristine. No, you couldn't pay me to change things.
Tell me what you need
and I got you, trust. Paint you a picture where life could be like for us.
Mikey Villanueva, known as Mikey V, is a Phil-Am hip-hop artist and producer from Daly City, California. Transitioning from his time from the Phil-Am rap group Doyen to a solo career, Mikey has carved out a distinct niche, drawing from inspiration from artists like Mos Def, Andre 3000, and Kendrick Lamar. His style stands out in the Bay Area scene through innovative wordplay, compelling lyrics, and dynamic hooks. His debut album, R.E.M., inspired by Rembrandt's paintings and meaning the realest expression of myself, showcases his diverse talent. I'm also honored to have cameo appearances on his newest album, a standout project from his time as a 2022 Creative Growth Program artist at Belai Creative. In this conversation, Mikey offers practical advice for young artists struggling on their creative path.
Find a purpose, find what you're meant to do here on this earth, and walk in that purpose through everything that you do. It's a little easier said than done for sure. That's why you have to like experiment and try things and fail and find out what it is that like really drives you. What makes you happy, basically, and keep doing it, follow it. You'd be surprised where it takes you. And I think the last thing is, we talked about this earlier, but follow the fear, follow the resistance. I still have trouble with it at times, but in general, it's a great compass to lead you to new opportunities and more life experience.
Also in this conversation, Mikey takes us behind the scenes of REM, the role Belai Creative played in supporting his creative process, and what it's like to chase rap dreams after clocking out of a day job. You can find Mikey V on Instagram at Mikey V Music and listen to his new album, REM, on Spotify. Mikey V, a creative growth grantee slash rapping artist from Daly City. You know, Mikey, you're one of my favorite applicants. I know I shouldn't say this, but when we were grading and going through all the applications, your passion for your projects and your vision for it in the deck that you sent in your application, it just really showed your dedication to this project and your art.
Thank you, Nicole.
And
thank you so much.
I just have to give you flowers at the top, Mikey, because you honestly are one of my favorite rappers, Bay Area rappers right now.
Thank you. That means so much, Nicole, honestly. And I'm really glad that I put you in the project because I feel like you were one of the people who really believed in me and helped me. And I really wanted to have you in the project. So it's kind of comes full circle. You know, it was really nice.
I was really shocked by that, Mikey like literally came up to me.
Yeah.
A month after our program ended, like around my birthday, and was like, I want you to be on the album. What?
Yeah, no, it was nice. It was very fitting, and you killed it. Like, honestly, your voice was so good for the skits and everything. It was perfect.
Well, I'm glad I could lend some of my talents to your EP. I know I'm like, dopest mom points is coming to me.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
my son yeah. finally gets to listen to your album. But before we get even deeper into this conversation, I always ask my guests this very first question, and it's, is there an ancestor or anyone that's passed on that you'd like to call into this conversation today to ground us in the space?
My Nanay Betty, she is my grandma on my dad's side, and also my Tatang Asyas. He's my grandpa on my mom's side, and they both passed away years back, but you know, calling on them.
Beautiful. All right, so let's get into it. I always want to start with origin story. And one of the questions I have about origin story is, since your SoundCloud era, open mic days, how has your artistry evolved? And can you talk about like early musical influences as a rapper growing up in the Bay?
So I used to be like a really backpack type of rapper, like old school boom bap type rapper, like everybody was. I mean, I feel like a lot of people were rapping back in the day. You know, just when you're growing up, you want to get heard. But I was listening to a lot of like Black Star, Outkast, Nas, Eminem, you know, Jay-Z, West Coast stuff, Ice Cube. But when I started like doing open mics in college, that's when like Drake started blowing up with like So Far Gone. So I was really on like a Drake and J. Cole hype. I remember in my dorm first hearing Grown Simba and watching the music video for Grown Simba from J. Cole. And I was just like, man, I want to be just like that. That's when I started thinking about my craft as more like a sport and like, you know, wanting to be more competitive about it. Because I always felt like I had a good way with writing words and like, you know, expressing myself in that way. So, yeah, it made me want to rap more. And so then I started doing like open mics and it kind of just evolved from there. Over time, I learned to appreciate unique styles over like the traditional. And I gravitated towards artists that were like different, like Chance the Rapper and Vic Mensa and people with a unique sound because, and, you know, it showed like who they really were, you know? And so that's how my musicality developed over time. And yeah, I started to really hone in on what makes me me.
How would you describe your rap style now?
Very versatile. I always use that word. It's very versatile because I feel like I can literally make any kind of song if I had to. And that kind of came with the practice of like making different types of music over the years and just experimenting. I feel like when you get into a creative flow, that's when you really tap into the deepest parts of yourself. That's when you discover your own sound the most. A lot of what helped with that is my producing. When I started producing about 2 years ago and started creating my own beats, that's when it, like my sound really evolved because I felt like I was able to make the songs that I wanted to based off like how I was feeling in the moment. And I didn't have to like latch onto someone else's feeling. You know what I mean? When they make a beat and then I have to rap over that. Nowadays, I don't rap over anything that's not mine or my engineer's. Because my engineer, me and him, we were like twins, man. Like, he knows how to make like the type of shit that I like. And we get each other in terms of the music. Kaiser 11, the homie, he got co-production credits on the album.
I got to hear some of it before it went out. I remember on the ride home, you gave me and Dom a ride home from executive order.
Yeah.
And you're yeah. like, you want to hear my music? And usually, you know, when rappers are like, you want to hear my music?
Yeah,
you just like silently, politely
like,
listen.
Oh, no. Like, oh, no. What's this guy going to show me?
But I was not hella shocked, but like the entire song from start to finish. Even that one song
Danae,
on your
right?
album, yes, Danae, Dom and I were blown away. Like from when the first beat drops to the end, it was like we were on a journey with you. I felt it was as grand, I would say, as Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh my God, that's an honor. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Like the ups and downs and the like surprise
yeah,
turns.
The dynamics.
You're just like, yes, the dynamics. You talk about versatility and that song alone on your album. I think is the greatest, one of the greatest sales. I mean, you have so many songs that are versatile, but just that song alone was like, dang.
It's unique, right?
Like, it's unique. Yeah. You don't hear a lot of albums like this coming out of the Bay right now, you know? And it's just like every song slaps.
So like the week before it drops, whenever I release something, I'm always like, oh no, what I gotta change? Like, I gotta change this. You know, like, even though it's already uploaded, I get that anxiety. And then so I'm thinking like, oh my God, people are gonna hate it. And then when it came out, it's just the amount of support and the amount of love for it that I received blew me away. It was surreal. It was crazy.
How does that process start? You talk about how you produce your own beats. When you told me that after listening to that song, again, I was blown away. Like, not only did you rap on this song, but you created this entire beat by yourself. Like, what is that process like? How do you choose, okay, during the song, I want to go this way or that way with it? What's that like?
To give preface, this album was, I made all the beats and co-produced with Jeff, but Jeff does a lot of the engineering, which is mainly like the creative choices and how we use the beat and the quality of sound. So I owe a lot of it to Jeff, to be honest, because we always bounce ideas off each other. But for this album, I created a framework for it. Like I said, every song is going to be based on a different painting, right? So I use this thing called the hero's journey. It's like a way to tell a story. So you have like an intro, then you have identity, then you have like trials, and then you have the learning from the trials. And I think I'm missing some steps, but that's basically how I formed this whole thing. And so you could see the first part of the album is like very like, who am I? Bitch, I'm an artist. You know what I mean? Right? And then it's like, what are your aspirations? Right? So like, I want to travel the world, you know, and I want to like, you know, have a good time, you know, like and live my life. Right? And then it goes more into things about love. And then it goes more into like struggle and inner turmoil. And then it becomes revelation and realizing identity and stuff like that. So then the whole story goes along this path. And then so in creating that story, I find the paintings that Rembrandt is most known for that kind of fit into that framework. The first one I made was The Artist. That was the first song off this album I made. And that's because it was like the quintessential, like, I'm an artist. Rembrandt was an artist. It's like the main thing connecting us, right? And then so I decided that this is going to be the single. And then for that, I decided to limit myself as a challenge. So limit myself to these instruments or these types of sounds and this type of production, right? And that helped a lot because a lot of times people can get caught up in trying to do too much, you know what I mean? And not knowing where to start. But then this helped me define a path. And then so every song, I just like would study the painting, the history behind it, like what it means. Like, for example, Danae, right? Danae is about a human woman who Zeus falls in love with, the god Zeus, right? The god of thunder. And then so he falls in love with her and turns into a human to love her and all that, right? So then I kind of thought about like, how do I feel about that? Like, how does that relate to me, right? Like, I know what love is. And this seems like something to me that's like a fresh love, like a new love, right? So I thought about budding love, young love. I also thought about like, how can I incorporate the Baroque, right? So we have a couple of themes. We have Greek, we have Baroque style. And then I just started looking for instruments and I found a disco violin, because like violin is where I was starting at a lot, right? I found this disco violin and I was like, yo, this is crazy. What if I made a disco song, like a disco house song with these themes? And then I just like experimented and tried it and I just put in like random basses and then I had a bunch of beat switches and that became one of my favorite songs for sure because it was like so different and so relatable, you know, like everyone's like has that young love, you know. And then we found a feature for it, Erica Lisa. Shout out Erica Lisa. She killed it. We may or may not be shooting a huge music video for it, you know, in the future. So, you know, keep your eyes and ears open.
Yes. Okay. I know a lot of people are thinking this. This is like one of the hottest questions right now. Your new album, Realist Expression of Myself. It's like you said, based on the paintings of Rembrandt. Why the heck did you choose Rembrandt? What is it about his paintings that resonated with you?
it's funny because you would never expect how I got this. So I was playing this video game called Horizon Zero Dawn, right? It's about this girl who's like in a post-apocalyptic world. It's actually a very beautiful game because they actually collaborated with the Rembrandt Museum. And which is so, because there was this scene in there where she basically gets abducted and they put her in like this museum where she sees art from the past and she's in the future. They don't know about art like that, right? And then the person over the intercom is introducing it. And then they show Rembrandt's painting, The Night Watch, which is his most famous painting. And it's one of the songs on the album. Before Rembrandt, no one really did action shots or like action paintings of people about to do something, right? It's always self-portraits. But this one is like, they're about to go to war. And you could see on their faces that some are scared, but some are also like ready. You know what I mean? And it was just really inspirational to me and beautiful. And that's when I was like, man, what if I like just made a whole album based off these kind of paintings, right? And then so I picked Rembrandt as my figurehead because these ones specifically stood out to me and made me feel a certain type of emotion. And the whole essence of art is making you feel something, right? And then I just built the world around it as much as I could. I told myself, like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right, you know, and I'm going to go all in. So I just built the whole world around it, bought the costumes, created the artwork and everything. And yeah, just kind of evolved.
That's such a dope answer. Real talk, how high were you when you had this idea while you're playing video?
Pretty high. I believe. Can't recall, but I believe it's likely.
What is your favorite song on the album?
Oh, that's tough. That's honestly tough because like I listen back and sometimes it changes. It's got a song for kind of every situation or every feeling. If I'm in a really good mood, sometimes I'm going to listen to LOL. If I'm traveling, I'm going to listen to The Rider. Or if I'm like at a party, I'm going to listen to The Allegory. If I'm feeling like a lovey-dovey, I'm going to listen to Isaac and Rebecca or Danae, you know? But I think for sure, if I really had to pick one, it would be Self-Portrait. Because that song, for real, has like lyrics in it from 10 years ago. I put everything into that song. Like I really put everything into that song production-wise. It's such a big thing. And one of my goals is that I want to perform this live for a video with an orchestra. You know what I mean? Like this one specifically would go crazy because from the writing to the performance on it, to the production, to everything, and the ideas in it, like to me, it's like my perfect song. I love that song so much. And it means a lot to me because like of the things I say in it. If you're going to ask like, who is Mikey V? That's the song.
Nice. And you said 10 years ago. So how long did it take you to create this album, this masterpiece?
Probably 10 years, like including the writing. I mean, like not like production wise, but like the things that I've been thinking about and like the things I've been talking about. But in terms of like producing it and like creating the album, like probably 2 years.
It takes time. As a writer myself, I love that you use this framework of the hero's journey. You've also shared that your album is intended to inspire people to go for what they want, just like a hero, to listen to their heart and follow resistance. Can you talk more about what that means, follow that resistance? What does that mean to you, Mikey?
First of all, I want to shout out my homie Shang Silver for, you know, putting me onto this book called The War of Art. And it's one of my favorite books and it speaks on like the struggle of being an artist. So I get that quote, follow resistance, from that book. Usually when you feel resistance towards something, it's fear-based and it points you in the direction of something that you really want or that you should go after. And then so to follow resistance means to use your fear and use that feeling as a compass to kind of tell you where to go. Because 9 times out of 10, going in that direction, the reward on the other side of that is really great. You got to go for it, you know, because we don't have forever on this planet, you know.
And that also, I think, speaks to your choice and decision to go from software engineer in the tech field straight into this album. Can you talk a little bit about that decision?
I'm actually not a software engineer. I'm a mechanical engineer, but tech. So right now, I'm currently still working as a mechanical engineer. I work at Tesla now. So I'm working like 60-hour weeks at Tesla. Yes, they are very different types of things. The tech world and then the music world is like polar opposites. But I think that's what's really cool about the whole situation is like the duality of man. With this album, I wanted to stress the fact that like we all have multiple sides to ourselves and it's okay. Some days we feel super confident and other days we feel really scared and insecure. And some days I'm working at Tesla and other days I want to be a rapper. It goes back to the whole versatility thing. I'm definitely still working there at Tesla. You know, I gotta make money, you know. But my true passion really is the music. If I could choose, I would definitely just be doing music full time. But I think it's okay to, you know, supplement your dreams with your job. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people try to say like, oh, you shouldn't be working. You should be following your dreams. But at the same time, it's like a lot of times we can't. People are not that fortunate to be able to do that. So you have to be okay with making sacrifices and be okay with doing the things that you have to do to achieve what you want, you know? It's definitely a struggle. Definitely a struggle.
And this is why Belai Creative comes in with the Creative Growth Artist Program, right?
Yes, sir.
And I kind of wanted to ask you, how did being a Belai Creative artist assist you in manifesting your vision for this album?
I am so glad I got connected with Belai because it really felt like after that, so many doors opened. I may or may not have gone to the same point that I am now on my own, but definitely I wouldn't have gotten the same connections. I wouldn't have met the same people. And that was the biggest thing about it, like the networking and like meeting all these cool people. And like also the workshops were amazing. Like I learned so much. I really learned so much from those workshops. And the fact that they were all free and it was part of the curriculum, like I really learned so much. And shout out to Kat from Golden Auras, my company, for putting me on to you guys, because she's the one who actually told me about the grant. And I would have never known if she didn't tell me. But yeah, you guys really helped me develop my brand and get in touch with the community that I had not really been in touch with before. If I had to do it again, I would definitely do it again.
Speaking of Golden Auras, so you're the founder and leader of the Golden Auras Collective. What is Golden Auras? What was the inspiration behind it? Also, peep it, I'm wearing the t-shirt.
Yeah. So the term Golden Auras is basically like a double entendre for like the golden aura that like kind of surrounds us as a people. So it's like Filipino people based. And also the other entendre, whatever, I think that's how you say it, is golden hour, because auras means hour in Tagalog. And so the golden hour basically symbolizing like this is our time right now, you know, and you got to take advantage of it. It's a big living a present kind of thing. I got inspiration from Adrian Pear, from his brand, We Are Golden. So I got a lot of inspiration from that and just kind of flipped it on his head and made it my own. So shout out to Adrian. Also, you know, the Warriors, you know, Bay Area, Golden Gate Bridge, everything. The golden, you know, the gold I feel like was a really huge theme for the person that I am and for the people around me, you know. And so the logo, which was designed by my homie Eric, shout out Eric, we made it into an hourglass surrounded by, so that's like our own little version of the Filipino sun, because we didn't want to be too spot on with it, but we made it our own. And yeah, it's like basically like a creative collective built around the community that is, you know, meant to, you know, bring people together and bring like artists and like creatives and businesses together within the Bay Area.
I love that. And part of that is also you hosted in the past at Belai Creative Studio a writing workshop with Golden Auras and your collective. Can you talk just a little bit about that in case you want to keep doing that?
I definitely do want to still do that because honestly, that was one of the most rewarding parts of the business that I created. There wasn't like so many people at the event, you know, but like the people who did come, they really put in their all in it and were engaged. Like there were tears and everything. It was crazy. And I really felt like we were providing something of value to the community. And that felt really great.
I think what's beautiful about your writing workshop, and unfortunately I wasn't able to attend, I think I was out of town, but one of my favorite quotes from Shonda Rhimes, who's also, you know, producer, writer, TV writer, is all writing is getting you connected to who you really are.
Yes.
And I highly encourage, whether you're a rapper, actor, whatever kind of creative outlet you have or artistic expression, write.
Yeah, there's a reason why therapists like always recommend making a journal.
Yes, you never know where that writing will lead and where you might use that writing later on in a project 10 years later.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I love how you gave back to the community. It was kind of this full circle moment of Bly Creative Studio. So can you talk more about the role community has played in your life and in the development of your own artistic career?
Community is like a broad term. It could be anything from like your friends to your family and to the actual bigger community, you know. But I definitely would not be where I am without the people around me, without my people, you know. Like when I started like recording music in my homie M. Shaw's dorm room, that's like when I kind of started making music and stuff, to doing open mics with people and to my old rap group, shout out Doyen, shout out CJ, shout out Rodney, No Name Rod, and to where I am now working with Kaiser 11 and working with my team Golden Auras, on top of trying to be representative of my greater community and feeling such a big support system from them, specifically the Filipino community. I've realized over the years how important it is and how that support can really drive you, because I feel like I have a responsibility now. Like, I feel like I have a responsibility to the people and like to really do the best that I can and to grow as a person and do better, because people are watching, like, you know, young people are listening and watching, and it's important to take that into consideration. You can't just do whatever you want sometimes. Like I said, it's a responsibility and an obligation, but it's a rewarding one. We were just talking about that feeling of giving back is fulfilling. The community is a lot of the reason why and how I do what I do. And I'm grateful for all the people that I've met and, you know, this circle that we've built. I feel like my circle has grown so much. And like I said, I'm grateful.
Speaking of your circles, you know, the greatest thing about your album is there's so many features.
Yeah.
I love it. I feel like every song has at least two or three features, collaborators. Can you talk about that process and how you chose the people that got to be featured on your album?
First of all, like before the album came out, I really wanted to just create the album on my own. Do like a whole J. Cole thing, like make all the beats, do like no features, you know what I mean? Just me. But then I realized how I was kind of like ego driven. My homie Jeff kind of put it in a good way. It's more about the project than it is about me as an artist. And so I had to swallow my pride a bit and say like, okay, what is going to make this project a classic? You know what I mean? Like, it needs features. It needs people who can add value to the song. So I chose a bunch of people that I know and some people that I just met over the internet, over IG, who just really encapsulated the sound and the feeling of the specific song they were on. And all of them were incredible. All of them killed it. And I'm so glad I got the people that I got. I was really fortunate and lucky. And shout out to everyone who was on this project. Like, thank you guys. And y'all really killed it.
It really takes a village.
Yeah, definitely.
So I want to know, how is your sound pushing the boundaries of the local music scene? And at the same time, repping Daly City, our hometown.
I was born in the Bay Area. I was grew up in the Bay Area. I listened to like all types of like Bay Area music and everything. But I really gravitated a lot towards more like East Coast sound. Like, I was listening to like Nas, you know, Black Star, Andre 3000, and like Lauryn Hill and stuff like that. I really gravitated towards like really a poetic approach because I felt really strongly about it, like the way that you could express your ideas in really unique ways. And like, I loved and respected the hyphy movement and Bay Area music, but I never really wanted to make music like that. The thing about making Bay Area sounds and stuff is it's very saturated within the Bay. And a lot of people get trapped in that, you know what I mean? No disrespect, but like, it becomes kind of limiting. You know, when you become like a Bay Area artist, like people think it's going to be like typical hyphy sounds or like P-Lo. Again, no disrespect because I love all that. But I wanted to do something different. I wanted to bring something new to the table and take a different kind of artistic approach. So I really resonated with this idea of centering my album around like classical Baroque style. And I feel like it really just paid off. It allowed me to create my own sound. At the same time, I'm always like, you know, mentioning or like talking about Daly City, the Bay Area within my songs. So I had the Gold Chain, you know, that's a very Bay Area type of song. I had to do at least one in the album, but it still fits within the central theme of like the whole classical Rembrandt approach. I did it because it had a place in the album and not just because of that sound. But one of the things I wanted to show is that like you can find inspiration everywhere and you don't have to beat yourself in a box. You don't have to create what everyone else is creating. You know what I mean? Like that's the point of art. Get your unique self and put it on wax, you know?
I love that. Get your unique self and put it on wax. I love that your influence shows throughout your album. And there's so many different kinds of sounds and layers, peaks and valleys in each song. And yeah, it does definitely remind me of like Andre 3000 and his like older stuff.
Yeah, he's actually one of my top three. If I had to pick a top three, it's Andre 3000, Kendrick Lamar, and J.I.D.
Nice. All right. So looking ahead, what are your goals? What is the big picture for this album? And how do you continue to plan or evolve as an artist?
This year is going to be huge. We got a lot of things in the works. We just shot a music video the other day. I'm not going to say what. It's probably going to be out by the time this comes out. I'm planning for like at least 5 music videos this year and a big show in the summer maybe. I lightly wanted to like do a tour or like a mini tour like every weekend. Like around California and just maybe do Vegas and stretch my boundaries, go to new areas. And two of my goals for next year, at least, is to get on Tiny Desk. That's one of them. I really want to do it next year with like a live band and everything. I really, really want to get like a live band performance because I feel like that's so tight. You know what I mean? Like having the synchronicity between every like musician in there. It's like, that's amazing to me. And I really want to do that. I want to get like an orchestra, no lie. Also want to do South by Southwest next year. That's another goal. I'm going to manifest it.
Yes. All right. Advice for any young rappers or even creatives in general, or something you wish someone had told you before you started your hero's journey?
Find a purpose. Find what you're meant to do here on this earth and walk in that purpose through everything that you do. It's a little easier said than done for sure. That's why you have to like experiment and try things and fail and find out what it is that like really drives you, what makes you happy basically, and keep doing it, follow it. You'd be surprised where it takes you. And I think the last thing is, we talked about this earlier, but follow the fear, follow the resistance. I still have trouble with it at times, but in general, it's a great compass to lead you to new opportunities and more life experience.
Love it. Okay, last question. What are you currently geeking over?
I've been thinking about this for a bit, and I want to get a tattoo of my album, REM, the logo. Just have that on my forearm. I'm trying to find like a good tattoo artist. I don't know. Like everyone wants to give me suggestions of the best in the Bay is. Definitely want to get that tattooed because that's going to be my first tattoo. I never get tattoos, but this one's really important to me because like I said, like this album is my magnum opus and it's like everything to me.
Love it. I love it. I love that your tattoo is going to be a reminder of all the hard work you've done in the past decade.
Yes.
And also a reminder of what's possible. Like you said, when you follow your purpose,
yes,
you push and follow that resistance. That's inspiring.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mikey. And thanks for being on our podcast. We're so happy to kind of come full circle with you. I remember when you first applied and video chat together.
Yeah,
and I was like
I
helping
that.
You with the application.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, wow, this is crazy.
Now we're interviewing you on your album and on this podcast. And look at you. And I know this is just the beginning, Mikey. So enjoy the ride.
Hopefully, yeah. Yeah, it's exciting and it's surreal. Who knows what's going to happen in the future, but like we're ready for it.
Yes, stay ready. Mikey shared an important lesson he learned from the book War of Art. In the book, the author describes, resistance, by definition, is self-sabotage. Have you ever faced a goal so daunting that all you want to do is run away? Or run the other way? That's resistance for you. It's the universal experience whenever we're at the brink of stepping out of our comfort zones. But here's where it gets interesting. This resistance isn't just a barrier. According to War of Art, it's actually a crucial part of our growth. The very thing pushing us back is what propels us forward. It sounds paradoxical, I know, but when we dig deeper, it makes perfect sense. Resistance or self-doubt isn't signaling us to back off. It's actually a hint that we're onto something big. And leaning into this discomfort instead of fleeing from it unveils a version of us that's more empowered and resilient. Okay, I'm going to speak from personal experience. Even starting this podcast, while I was starting my role at as a program manager at Belay Creative, I was swamped with self-doubt and resistance. Like, aren't there enough podcasts out there? Or, but there's already a bunch of Philam podcasts. Why would anyone listen to mine? Or, I hate the sound of my voice. Seriously, I hate the sound of my voice. Then there were even moments I questioned my own intelligence and ability, wondering if I had what it takes to even host a podcast. And let's not even get started on the technical side of things. I have no idea how to do anything dealing with audio production and editing. Yet, as I ventured into the process of finding a co-host and a producer, I realized something. It was actually more practical and cost-effective to take the reins myself as a host and co-producer. And real talk, most of these episodes came to life in my home, in my son's nursery / home office. Look, as a mom, my time is limited. Then, by divine intervention, I was connected with an incredibly talented co-producer, John Reyes, and found our own associate producer / program coordinator, Iggy Mora. Also, our in-studio sound engineer, Lionel Queen, lends a hand whenever our guests want to record in person at Belay Creative. These people and their exceptional work make all the difference. So this journey through resistance wasn't just about starting a podcast. It was a profound lesson in growth and achievement against my own self-doubt and imposter syndrome. And by facing my resistance head-on, incredible outcomes unfolded. We just celebrated the conclusion of season one with 20 episodes. We have over 3,000 listeners tuning in each week from all over the world and the U.S. Shout out to our Virginia listeners. We have listeners in the Philippines, to Australia, to South Africa, to Singapore, to even Denmark. And our promotional content on social media went viral with over 300,000 views. As Mikey was suggesting, your goals at times can feel like scaling a mountain, overshadowed by resistance. And the essence here is quite profound yet straightforward. Resistance is a shadow to every creative endeavor, and the bigger endeavor, the bigger the shadow. But its strength comes from our fears. Here's the silver line. By confronting your fears, you effectively disarm your resistance. And your journey is more than just reaching a milestone or crossing off a goal on your list. It's about undergoing a transformation. It's about evolving into someone who not only confronts fears, but conquers them. Sure, it can be a challenge, but trust me, the view from the top makes it all worthwhile. You can listen to Mikey B's album, REM, on Spotify. Cultural Cultivators is hosted by me, Nicole Saliver. You can follow me at Kindred Capois or follow us at cultural.cultivators, cultivators with a K, on Instagram. The podcast is co-produced by John Reyes, Kindred Capois, and Belay Creative, It is a product of Cultivate Labs. Stay in touch at belaycreative.org.
I wouldn't bet a penny on no setting sun, cause tomorrow's petty never promised anyone. Always rushing and always chasing for chasing, assume something is missing. I had a face that I could have replaced.
Love with drinking and doing drugs,
whether off the street or if my daughter was the plug. What is this life made of? Yeah. Hand me my flowers before I'm gone. Hand me my power, this ain't a song, it's a manifest. A man and less is never wrong. True strength lies in admitting mistakes and moving on. Them snakes lie, waiting in grass, it seems greener. Same time, know that them high stakes will feed ya. Give yourself credit, check the statement, make sure to bank on your own merits. Y'all don't really hear it, I said, fear is just faith inverted. Through the trials, gotta face the verdict. Waste too much time, busy chasing perfect, instead of trying to change the word, and it wasn't working. Yeah. Know just what you fighting for. Aim for higher than a higher floor. And if ambition isn't meteor, let wisdom be a guiding star. Trust, let it guide you far.
Never the master, forever student. Don't ask me if you can do it. Just move in and make a movement, I will.
Step to it, even if there's steps to it. Long as I can feel the soul. Doctor shows you were shooing. Ten toes, staying low, stay rooted. Attract lightning for the shining. Call me Kubrick. Know it's frightening when you're fighting while you're wounded. Staying down, it's not my life. No, I refuse it. How would Francis do it if he was still alive? Fighting my past, my demons demystified. Fighting time like it was a crime. Punching the clock, you know the grind. See, lately I haven't been catching Z's. I'd rather be catching dreams. I'm lucid, loosely grasping red strings and lucid. She only worries cause she don't see the proof yet. But mama, I got you, just know I bleed profusely. Only because I'm free to do so. Decided I'm deciding for myself and it's crucial. Never listen, focus on the vision. But it only gets you so far. I was fine in limbo, that's a low bar. No ma, I'ma make it, nah, I'ma create it. Nah, I'ma repossess it like the IRS. It was always mine, it's best to take it back inside the X like Chadwick Boseman. I am not the spokesman, I am not the chosen, I am not the postman. I just got a message from God saying keep going. Slow and steady the motion, you can't boil the ocean. Listen, you can't boil the ocean. I've been stressing enough, I've been stretching the bluff. I've been giving a fuck so much, had no more love left to give myself, put what I wanted on shelf. But now I'm gonna take a stop, God damn it, I'd be more afraid of myself. Soft real estate on my face, wept like my sister's newborn. Real estate in my ways, felt like a new home. Values had to get reappraised. I've been too worn. This life, God fashion is crazy. Gain a new form. Promise that I'll never stop changing, and that's a coupon. I make it, we both make it. I've been too strong for too long. You wrong if you call that phony, cause I've been doing my damnedest. You don't know me.
Give me sunlight, tell me you're all in. Give me loving, I'll stay till the morning. Give me a reason.
Yourself to the bone, the muscle can never grow. The grind will only grind you down, but you don't know. Ever since you were young, you were taught if you let it show, that's weakness. And you couldn't tweak this, oh no, repeat this. No one can love you like you. The sweetness of knowing there's no one like you is peakless. And thinking that that just ain't true is sneakness. And no wonder that made you so uniqueless. Just say that everything is everything. And be allowed to let go of these heavy things. I mean, maybe that's untraditional. But I need love that's unconditional, that's real. Send it up to the sky, to the lows, to the highs, to the lows. Keep your head, your word, and your heart. Know your worth, know the word, don't owe you shit, but you owe yourself the word. Paint a picture of myself and how I am and how I could be. The journey's learning to make them both one. But if I ask for a little bit of sun, would it be wrong to reminisce about the rain when it's done? Let me know.
Give me a sunlight. Tell me you're all in. Give me a love and I'll stay till the morning. Give me a reason. Give me a reason. Give me a reason.
Now, everyone, feel free to explore the exhibit, but make sure you don't leave this room, especially you, John John. Wait, where is he?
I didn't do it.
Jonathan Jonabajob.
Oh, shit.
I am calling your parents.
Looks like you like this painting, huh?
Yeah, I really do. Did you know this guy painted himself because he was inspired by the painter Rembrandt?
Wow.
He went through light, and he went through dark, and he liked churros and cars.
Okay, okay. How'd you get so smart?
My parents said it's because I got a big head.
That's crazy. Man, ain't it wild how, like, this Filipino artist found a way to connect with this old Dutch guy from, like, 1,000 years ago?
Wow, I never thought of that. Huh.
Mr. Villanueva, you made it. Class, gather round. This is Mr. Villanueva, the painter of the self-portrait.
Wait, what? You're him?
Yeah.
Whoa. I wish I could paint like you someday.
Listen, before everyone shows up, let me ask you one last question. If you had your own blank canvas and there were no rules, how would you paint yourself?